T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. I heard you missed us. We're back. This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, it's 8:32, and welcome to Friday, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Hancock and Kelly. Good morning, gentlemen.
How about that?
Good morning. Good morning. Boy, you were a disaster this morning. This guy.
That's your fault, Kelly.
He's cracking us up here.
He's got me drinking this club soda stuff, which I had no idea when you open it up. It's like Aetna.
Yeah.
Spewing everywhere.
Vesuvius in the studio.
It's all good. I got napkins here.
You look different this morning. Is there something different about you?
Huh? Well, I've lost a pound and a half.
Yeah, oh, but something on your head.
That's my headphones, buddy. I bought headphones.
Finally.
11 years in, I finally bought them. You know what that means. They're going to fire me any day now.
It is Friday. End of the day is usually when they do that.
They do.
Well, then at least you got a good pair of headphones out of it.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, it is Friday, and I think we're all happy for the weekend. Unfortunately, we have to start here with the big news story of the day, which is awful.
Yeah.
It's the first news I saw waking up this morning, and we have apparently passed our mass shooting disease on to New Zealand. If this is Christchurch, New Zealand, 49 fatalities. They have detained not one shooter, but four people who are apparently all in on the planning of this, and a warning from authorities that the danger may not be over. This was an attack on two separate mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. They're urging caution across the nation and actually at mosques across the world just to keep your eyes and ears open. This guy apparently had a manifesto, hated Muslims and immigrants, and he live streamed it so that everyone could enjoy what he was doing. Michael Kelly, your thoughts about this horrible situation?
This is just disgusting. I'm very concerned about this populist movement that's moving across the world. I mean, it's not unique to the United States. We're witnessing it all around the world. Scary. It's just scary stuff, man. When we've been in this type of situation in the past, it's ended in world wars.
Well, it's terrorism. You know, I think it would be inaccurate to call this guy just another whack job or a nut. I mean, he's a terrorist. And there are people who share that ideology that this gunman clearly had and shared via this manifesto. There are people all over the globe that share this ideology, including in this country, and they are terrorists, and they need to be treated as terrorists. They need to be studied as terrorists. They need to be monitored as terrorists, and this is an eye-opening moment, I think, for the world, and a very sad day.
Is it time to call on our politicians to step up in cases like this?
Because, well, thoughts and prayers. I mean, of course.
I mean, I'm just somebody had forwarded me a press release from Senator Fraser Anning, who is a senator in Australia. Now, the gunman is an Australian,
right.
And he writes this. This came out today, an official statement from his office. I'm utterly opposed to any form of violence. Whilst this violent vigilantism can never be justified, what it highlights is the growing fear of an increasing Muslim presence. The real cause of bloodshed is the immigration program that allowed Muslim fanatics to migrate to New Zealand in the first place. While Muslims may have been the victims today, usually they are the perpetrators. He goes on to basically justify what happened.
Well, I mean, what can you say? There's nothing to say about that. You know, are there people who are on violent, are there violent jihadists in the world? Yes, there are. They've killed hundreds and hundreds of people, if not thousands of people. But this ideology that fomented and led to this attack today by this, whatever he is, nationalist, white supremacist, whatever you want to call him, that's a dangerous ideology as well. And there are clearly people who take that ideology and go commit acts of terror with it, because of it. And, you know, my point is that terrorism is terrorism, and you've got to root it out, you've got to fight it, and you've got to try and prevent things like this from happening to the extent your intelligence allows you to do that. And it's more difficult in a free society, but it is where we are, and I think calling this as terrorism is very important.
Yeah, but John, there's rhetoric going on all across the globe where, you know, both on the left and the right, it's gotten to the point of extremism. Part of it's these cell phones we have, etc. I do believe that in the core of most human beings on this planet are folks who think good. But they're staying silent in the midst of all this stuff, whether it be our own domestic politics. When a president says yesterday to Breitbart, I tell you that I have the support of the police, support the military. They support Bikers for Trump. I have tough people, but they don't play it tough until they get to a certain point. And then it can be bad, very bad. I mean, we're accepting language. And I know I'm pointing out an example of the president. We have it on the left as well. We're accepting language and we're allowing it to be discounted as, oh, that's just political talk. This has real consequences. And I just wonder when the bulk of us, and I think that's the folks sitting in this room, as well as all of us across the globe, are going to just start to say enough. Even if it's my guy saying it or my girl saying it, it's no longer something we're going to tolerate.
Well, I think, you know, the people that eschew these kind of radical ideologies, whichever side they're on, I do think are a small minority of the population, but they're a dangerous small minority of the population. And
do you believe the president to be a small minority of? I mean, I think he's
I don't know what that was. I don't know what that quote was yesterday.
Do you think but doesn't it kind of feed into this world narrative and surely this national narrative we've got going on? It's no wonder whack jobs, crazy people, terrorists can find some justification in their own head when you have this type of rhetoric coming from the leader of the free world. And I'm not just picking on him because there's Democrats out there doing it too.
Well, I think people in the public sphere have an obligation, a responsibility to be judicious in their speech. And that quote from the press, if that's an accurate quote in that Breitbart piece, I can't explain it. There's nothing I can say. I certainly disagree with the sentiment in there. Whatever the president's thoughts may have been in giving that comment, it was a kind of comment that one should not offer for public consumption.
I guess where I'm going with this is, when do we all stand up? Of course, we got the left and MSNBC and CNN are going nuts, but when do the Republicans stand up and say, no, Mr. President, no more? When does Nancy Pelosi stand up to the congresswoman in Wisconsin? No more. We're not dealing with this. This is not who we are.
Well, we'll talk about that coming up because at least a dozen Republican senators did say no to the president yesterday. That's our next topic when we return on Overtime. Traffic and weather together on the way.
Cardinals preseason exhibition play continues today as they take on the Houston Astros. Pregame 4:55. First pitch with Shannon and Rooney 5:05. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, it's 8:42. Welcome back to Overtime Round 2. Hancock, Kelly, and Monterey. And yesterday, they did take that vote on the president's declaration of emergency. And Roy Blunt, the highest-ranking Republican member of the Senate to join with Democrats in blocking Trump's emergency declaration. The president just basically tweeted veto, and they don't have a veto-proof majority vote there. But John Hancock, were you surprised at Blunt's vote? And what do you take away from a dozen Republican senators joining with Democrats?
I wasn't surprised by the vote. And, this really is a key conservative position, I think, that Roy Blunt is articulating and those other senators. And the conservative position is this. The Constitution clearly delineates the powers of the various branches of government. And we've been now for a decade or more in this country, the legislative branch of government has been ceding more and more authority to the executive branch of government, whether it's presidential action or administrative agency action. That is not consistent with conservative principles of governing the country. Now, I agree, as does Roy Blunt, that the border ought to be addressed, that it is a very important public policy. But as to the appropriation of resources, that's the purview of the legislative branch. And we are setting, in my opinion, a bad precedent here if if this emergency declaration is allowed to continue, if the courts rule in favor of the president, then I think we've moved into a new area.
Yeah. So the majority of the folks who voted on the Republican side are folks who are going to be facing likely primaries, potentially like a Ben Sasse in Nebraska. He's not worried about somebody on the left. He's worried about somebody on the right coming at him. I think it also speaks to the further deterioration of what the Republican Party stands for. I mean, Roy Blunt is exactly right. This is a man who believes in that there's a real problem at the border, but he doesn't want to see what they've all said they've embraced, which is the Constitution. I mean, I was shocked to see Ted Cruz in particular vote for this the other day. And I think the deterioration of what the Republican Party and what they stand for, if they couldn't stand for the Constitution on this issue, I'd argue to you that in 2 years, if gas hits $6 a gallon and Elizabeth Warren's the president of the United States and she declares an emergency, hang on a second, she declares a national emergency to take over the oil fields in Texas. Well, I mean, would Republicans, say, they'd say this is atrocious. This is essentially the same precedent that's being set. And these folks who used to wrap themselves in the Bible, now are wrapping themselves in the Constitution, have lost everything that they stand for.
Well, so you don't think we'll be seeing any Republicans running as constitutional conservatives?
Ted Cruz claim to be a constitutionalist when Roy Blunt has the guts to go out and do what he believes is right about the Constitution? Ted Cruz, who's lectured us on the Constitution forever, goes out and makes this political vote.
Well, I think you got to be careful because I think that now I agree with Roy Blunt's position on this. I think it's a pretty clear cut case that this is a diminution of the legislative branch's constitutional authority, but not everybody is of that opinion. There are conservatives who believe this is a legitimate emergency, what's happening at the border, and that it constitutes a presidential, I'm not going to ascribe bad motives to every vote on this thing. I think there are people of principle that voted with the president on this.
But come on, John, this is one of the starkest examples of people going against core values. I mean, they claim the Constitution. They wanted these Supreme Court judges that were going to be all about the Constitution. If you couldn't see this, come on.
Well, I'm telling you that I don't think that. And now, I do think there was some voters on the Republican side that were going against their core principles. I'm not going to name names. But I think there were a lot of those Republicans who believe this is a legitimate executive branch decision to declare a state of emergency on the border. And that's why they voted that way. I disagree with that. But I understand the thinking process. I think it's wrong, and I think it will come back and bite us someday. But nonetheless, I'm not going to ascribe bad motives to the folks that voted with the president.
I don't think saying that they didn't stand up for the Constitution is ascribing bad motives. It's an observation, which happens to be true.
Well, let's talk about something more aggravating closer to home, and that would be Interstate 44 construction. I happen to drive 44, I don't know, most days of the week. I know producer Chris Myhill does as well. And it is like this never-ending nightmare. And it's going to apparently continue on because the grand on-ramp to westbound 44 is going to be shut down for 3 months. And then until the end of the year, the Van Deventer ramp to westbound 44 closes. In addition to highway delays, there'll be significant slowdowns on the secondaries like Kings Highway, Van Deventer, 39th on Tower Grove. So all of our city listeners are affected. And that's not even mentioning the bridge over the Shrewsbury exit there because that had cracks in it. And it's been kind of a pain in the neck. Chris points out here, the Transcontinental Railroad took 6 years to build. It's going to take longer to rebuild 44, John Hancock.
Yeah, it's a problem. And, I remember the days when the 44 to downtown was the preferred route, because 40 was such a mess. And, this is going to be very inconvenient for our southern friends out there. I'm a Highway 40 kind of guy myself out in Chesterfield.
This is a lack of resources. I mean, this is what happens when you have a city, a region, and a state that's not committed to keeping up infrastructure, would rather cut taxes and push off things. Guess what? The bill's coming due, and it's going to continue to happen. The reality is we could build this a lot quicker. They don't have the money to be able to do it, so they've got to stretch it over this long period of time. These are the consequences of a city, state, and region who does not invest in its infrastructure.
I think the reason they're stretching it over a long period of time is to minimize the number of lane closures. If you do
we
what we did—
the whole highway for a year, John.
Well, that's what we did on Highway 40.
6440 was so amazingly seamless. We all thought it was going to be— what did we call it? Carmageddon.
Yeah.
And it was done ahead of time, under budget, because they planned and prioritized.
Yeah, although they didn't fix that little thing just past the zoo or before you get to the zoo, that turn. I mean, I don't know how you go invest $1 billion in a highway and not fix the one place that causes all the traffic problems. They left it the exact same way. You know what I'm talking about, right? McLaughlin, between and Hampton, that turn.
Yeah.
I don't care what time of day you're there, you're going to slow down to 20 miles an hour when there's nothing going on.
All right, well, we need to take another break. We've got them all riled up here this morning on Overtime. It's 8:49.
KMOX.
You ready? Let's go.
This is Overtime.
8:51. Hey, it's Friday. We are so glad it's Friday around here. Hancock and Kelly are in, and this is round three of OT. I'm Debbie Monterey.
So soon. Just flowing through this morning.
Yeah, I know.
Time is blowing by.
Time flies when you're having fun. Hey, remember when AT&T wanted to buy Time Warner and they said if they were allowed to do that, it wouldn't mean a price hike. It would probably mean savings for customers. Well, AT&T is hiking prices on its paid TV services for the second time since January. Next month, most of the 1.6 million subscribers of DirecTV Now will be charged an extra $10 a month as AT&T changes its programming packages. And that follows a price increase in January for its traditional satellite service. Michael Kelly, AT&T promised lower prices if this merger was approved. How do you think AT&T customers should show their displeasure?
Well, you know, President Trump said if we repealed Obamacare that healthcare would go down too. So what's just more people lying to us? I am a subscriber of DirecTV Now. I will be finding an alternative because, look, their format's messed up. Their interactive thing is not my favorite. I signed up for this thing. I did it on a month-to-month basis because I don't really watch that much TV anymore. And I'll just go and buy the individual channels I want to see. I'm kind of done with these global corporations that are constantly sticking it to us.
Wow. You might have to go out there and get you one of those haikus and watch your television.
Roku.
Whatever it is. You know, the beautiful thing here is that the market's going to take care of this. If customers are going to flee because of the price hikes, then guess what? AT&T is going to have to figure it out. And if the customers are happy with the service and they don't mind the $10 a month, then AT&T is going to keep doing what it does. But this is the market's going to take care of this.
All right. But the bottom line is, should we believe these corporations? And they say, we're going to buy another company and it'll mean lower prices.
Well, you know, they did give us those... $1,000. Oh, they only did that one time. I forgot about
that. Prices tend to go up. That tends to be what happens with things. And many companies do everything they can to keep from raising the prices. Why? Because the consumers will find alternatives. And we'll just see what happens here.
Yeah, I cut my DirecTV when my bill got to be $170 a month. Wow. Just for television, which I never watched.
Right.
So I was like, all right, see ya. And you know what? I haven't missed it.
I really only watch live sport on TV anymore. Maybe the news. That's about it.
See, that's how they hook you in. I don't have cable or satellite. They hook you in by making the sports premium packages that you can't get otherwise.
Totally.
So I just weaned myself off live sports.
Good for you.
Wow.
There you go.
How's it working?
Fine.
Doing all right? Yeah.
I have more time on my hands. Hey, here's one for you. Have you ever thought about a pig for a pet?
Oh, Lord.
What?
A pig for a pet?
A pig. A pig
another
for a
thing
pet.
People can bring on the airplane with them because they're emotionally distraught. They can bring a pig. I have to sit next to a bunch of pigs already on Southwest with the big fat
goodness.
Guy that sits next
to
me.
Hey.
I'm dreading getting on the airline on Saturday morning because I always get the biggest dude. I'm not a small dude myself.
You're getting smaller.
I will get the largest man who's you got 200 degree body heat coming on me.
Well, you're obviously not recruiting well. Do you sit on the aisle?
Yes.
Well, if you sit on the aisle, it's all about recruitment. Nobody
so
can recruit like this guy.
I'm supposed to be the creeper who says to the gal, hey, I'll buy you drinks if you sit in the middle.
No, you don't have to.
She's going to be like, I'm going to the other side of the plane.
It is speechless communication, Kelly, and you recruit the seatmate you want by, you know, eye contact and so forth.
Okay.
All right. My goodness, Michael Kelly is fired up this morning.
I am.
Let's not call people pigs. We're talking about pigs.
Pig pigs, yes.
Pig pigs.
I think they're cute.
Potbelly pigs, you
they're
know,
cute
are
guys.
Cute little guys.
They
but
are.
Sometimes they get really big because the breeder is like, oh, it's going to be little, and then it gets to be huge. Anyway, Longmeadow Rescue Ranch, which is run by the Humane Society, has lots of pigs available for adoption. And they say that pigs are among the smartest domestic animals in the world, so they're easily house trained. They can be litter box trained, and because they don't shed, they're actually a good option for families with allergies. allergies. So they're having a special spring pig adoption. If you get a pig over a year old, no adoption fees, and they'll throw in a bag of feed. Do you think your dog would enjoy a pig friend, John Hancock?
That might be a fascinating. You know, the kids are grown now, and so maybe adding a pig to the milieu there might be pretty good. Now, you know, the thing, though, the potbelly pig, of course, you get anything called potbelly anything, they're going to get fat. And so you have to be prepared to deal with a fat pig, which fat pigs probably produce. You know, fat, you know, the waste products and so forth.
So you just said you'd be open to a pig.
I would be, yeah, I'm in.
Well, I know I just missed your birthday. Congratulations. I'm going to get the information. I'm adopting this pig. I'm paying the fees. I'm getting the vet stuff done. I'll be delivering that sucker on Saturday.
Can't wait.
All right. Well, you can head to the Long Meadow Rescue Ranch this afternoon and do your pig viewing.
Oink,
all right.
Oink.
Do we have time for a real quick one?
You bet.
Very sad news about Alex Trebek and his stage 4 pancreatic cancer. But this started a conversation that if you were diagnosed with stage 4, would you fight it or would you live your life to the fullest? And I think that's a question some people are asking themselves. Which would you prefer, Michael Kelly?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that if they told me that I only had 6 months left, I'm not sure I'd go through the process of what it takes. And I'd go max that credit card out, try all those drugs that I've never tried in my life. And
hit that bucket list.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It's one I've not really pondered. I think it would depend on what lies ahead on the calendar. Like, if there was something I really wanted to live for, then, you know, maybe. But it's a tough decision, and I hope to never have to face it.
Yeah, well.
Many of us will.
We all will at some point. It's 8:57, and Hancock and Kelly up after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.